Hello and welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, fellow Allez-vous rep, Stuart. Stuart, how are you? Can I sell you some of this incredibly creamy bronzing cream?
I mean, Jessica, you were supposed to have cleaned up all of these quality products. You just left them lying around for these lovely listeners to just peruse through.
You know what? That's okay. They can just, you know, they can move them. They can put them on their lap. They can sample them. It's okay.
Just for a very low, low fee.
Yes. We're talking all sorts of shit about Schitt's Creek, season one, episode eight, Allez-vous. I think you thought it was some kind of French term when you guessed at the end of last podcast, right?
Yeah, I was speculating whether or not it was going to be like a romantic dinner with Moira and Johnny. It'd be like another
not
kind
quite.
Of like
yeah.
cabin-like episode where they go to a restaurant. But yeah, Allez-vous totally didn't live up to what I thought it might be, but it lived up to the expectations because, of course, it just took a weird, like, kind of skew on something that you know about, which are MLM schemes, which, annoyingly, we all know too much about because they are a thing and they shouldn't be. They're awful.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I love so much about this episode is that, like, David and Moira know. They know what the, well, Moira, I guess you should say, knows what this is, right? She knows exactly what this is. She knows it's crap. She's like, I don't want to sell this. Like, it's awful. And yet, they're desperate for money. And so, why not? We have these products. Might as well try to pawn them off on the people of the town.
It was funny seeing Moira just being like, no, this is a scam. This is awful. Like, this is like the worst. And then, but let's try and sell them anyway. Why not?
Yeah, let's do it. One last time, don't forget to subscribe. Talking Shit everywhere. Watch us on YouTube. We have video. We're going to do some video stuff later with the tier ranking and all of that. Let's hop into this episode. Let's do a little bit of a recap before we dive too deep into it. Get ready for a cringe fest because Moira and David are involved in an MLM scheme. In order to make money, they decide to try and sell Allez-vous, a makeup brand company started by one of Moira's old frenemies. Unfortunately, the Allez-vous fad already hit Schitt's Creek and nearly everyone is a brand rep. Johnny needs to get to Elmdale to get an unemployment check, but doesn't have a vehicle. He takes one of Bob's cars for a test drive, but when it breaks down, he must rely on a nosy Roland. Roland's presence comes in handy, though, when dealing with the unemployment office worker. As it turns out, Roland and her used to be an item because Stuart, as Roland says, Marty likes a bad boy.
Oh, God, no. Didn't need that.
Meanwhile, nice guy Ted might be a little too nice for Alexis. He doesn't send his restaurant food back when it's incorrect and is willing to sit in on the MLM scam luncheon just because Moira invited him. They do make up after Alexis forces Ted to trash talk her family a bit, so Telexis Aled is still a thing. I don't know. Do we need a ship name? How do we feel about Telexis?
How have we not even brought up ship names? Telexis sounds like an awful tech company, doesn't it?
It's
like,
does.
Hi, I'm calling from Telexis. I'm here to like update your subscription to our firewall or something. I don't know.
Silicon Valley vibes for sure.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
Aled sounds too much like a Welsh man, so maybe Telexis is the one we go
I
for.
I think Telexis is the one. So they're still going strong. He learns he shouldn't, while he's allowed to be mean about her entire family, he definitely cannot be mean about her. He learns where the line is this episode.
Yeah, Alexis was very quick to draw that line. Just like, no. No, we don't go there.
Too far. Yes. Where do you want to start, Stuart? You want to start with Johnny, David and Moira, or Telexis, as we've said?
I feel like we have to start with the opening, which is the whole MLM scheme. We touched on it a little bit already, but I think, first off, getting the package that just randomly arrives, and immediately when David said, like, trying to beckon Moira in, I thought that because the way Moira was sat, I was like, is someone just sat there wearing one of her wigs or something, like pretending to be her? But then it just turned out it was her, and I was like, I am manifesting too much to this show of what my kind of expectations of where it's going to go are and things. And then they go through what is the MLM scheme. I thought it was so strange because when she was describing, she was like, oh, JSP. And I was like, Jessica Sarah Parker. And then, I don't know why my brain went there. And I was like, I was such a dumbass. Because then when it came out, it was like Justin St. Pierre. And I was like, of course that's what like Moira's friend's name. Like, mm-hmm. that makes total sense.
Yeah, of course she's a three-name person. Has to be.
Yeah. But seeing the way in which David was all in on the MLM scheme, it's like, this is going to solve our problems. $600,000 a year, $50,000 a month, $7,000 a week somehow. It's just
the math doesn't math. Yeah. No. I love the fascination with the, was it champagne Audi that they could get if they sold enough? Yeah, David is all in on this. And one of my favorite, like, again, I think Schitt's Creek is so good with even the smallest of bits. I've seen this episode too many times to count at this point. And when they're watching the little helpful video, and she goes, and get ready for our tips and tricks. She must say tips and tricks 10 times. Not a single tip nor trick is talked about.
Where are the tips and tricks? She keeps talking in circles. Like, this David is how getting MLMs frustrated do it, right?
Incredible. Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. This is all too real, which is why it's so funny. Everyone has experienced like, oh, do you want some lip scents? It's like, no, I don't want your $20 garbage lip product when I could go to a drugstore and get one for $5. No, thank you. I'm good. Like everyone has experienced this. I feel like especially women tend to get it's the be your own boss mentality. You know, oh, you're a stay at home parent. Well, you can be your own boss and make your own hours. Like, it's a little bit it's a little cringy, but I thought they did a really good job in this episode of like making fun of it and like how obviously bad it is and how obviously difficult it is for anybody to succeed. Jocelyn says her and Roland are still driving that beat up truck. They didn't get the champagne Audi either.
Yeah, and I love the way in which it was kind of addressed as the like David and Moira are late to the game. Massively so, because I mean they would be. They are not aware of how pervasive MLM schemes were. They never needed to be concerned with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And MLMs were like a big thing, like maybe like a couple of decades ago and things. But seeing that Jocelyn was, of course, the one to break it to them and let them down gently and be like, oh yeah, we had that and we're still enthusiastic for you, but we're not gonna be your customers kind of thing. I was like, bless her heart. She is the kindest person in the world and rapidly becoming one of my favorite and most loved characters. But seeing the way in which they were just like, all of the town was taken in by it. Of course they were. It's a small town. It's very incestuous, as they even described it. And it's like, why did they not think about this? Why did they think that it was an open buffet of potential money? Because they're optimistic and they want a quick get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah, because they target gullible people that want to be able to make money on their own, make their own hours, right? Like, it sounds great. It sounds ideal. Mm. I love the, when we go down the line and each person, I'm a district manager. I'm like a deputy district manager. And then we get to Stevie and she just says, I gave up.
True, Stevie. I didn't expect anything less. I was surprised that Stevie wasn't already like taking the piss out of it. And then you realize why, because Stevie kind of went down that route a little bit. Yeah.
And one of the best bits is like the fact that Alexis is also there witnessing all of this, like knowing that she's like, this is so stupid. Like, why am I even here? I think it's our first ew David this episode. I'm not sure if she said it before, but this is like one of the most notable ew Davids from Alexis during the Alavu scene. Yeah.
Incredibly cathartic. I believe she's still like eating something or like something's like she seems to be like just outraged. It's like proper, it comes from the gut almost. Mm-hmm. You can see why it's such a great catchphrase.
Yeah. Ew, David. It's so perfect. And we get David testing the products also cracks me up because he's testing it as he's watching the tips and tricks video. And the way that Dan Levy applies this like bronzing cream cracks me up. Like he's going all in. It's like he has a skincare routine. And when he's done, oh my God, Stuart, it looks so bad. Like it's one of those ones that it feels like it gets it. Like, I don't know if it, oxidizes over time, but it looks like it gets darker and darker throughout the episode. And by the end, it's like, girl, you're orange. You're orange. What are you doing? Stop.
True
it.
Coco Montrese kind of orange realness from Drag Race. But like, it's probably affected by the fluorescent lighting of the motel, maybe. It's or it's just, why are we kidding ourselves? It's cheap product that's like fast acting and is going to probably bake right under the skin and get really in there. I would be surprised if this isn't something that maybe lingers for a long time for David and that it takes a good few washes to get away, because that shit looks rough.
It's also kind of concerning knowing that Moira, like, previously was a really, you know, a soap actress, right? She's like a notable actress. Her and David's acting in these scenes with the allez-vous where they're trying to sell it is so horrible. David, you were supposed to clean up all the products. We have nowhere for our guests to sit. It's
like performance of a lifetime, I thought. It was just the two of them together. I don't know whether it was Moira feeding off of David's like bad acting, because David was notably worse than Moira, but Moira was just like setting them up, almost like reading a lines to a child rehearsing for like a school play kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was embarrassingly bad. And the worst thing is that they thought that they would get away with that in front of the townspeople, that like the likes of Jocelyn, Ronnie and Stevie would just be like, oh yeah, sure, we're really buying this. It speaks a lot to their arrogance that they still have.
Yeah, I think, like, certainly to a degree, some of the townsfolk are more impressionable and naive and a little sheltered than others. But I think, and at this point in the show, they think that they could really get a fast one over on any of these people. And that's just not the case. Like, maybe certain people, like maybe your Twilas, Twilas of the world. But Ronnie, she's sharp. She knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think even Jocelyn is a little bit smarter than they give her credit for as well.
Oh, massively so. Jocelyn is, I think, one of the kind of more savvy people in the town. And Jocelyn just happens to have not accepted that position. I think she just likes her life. Like, she knows it's not the most glamorous life in the world, but it's her life and she likes it. She is happy with Roland, it seems. And she seems to love being a teacher and like having all these stories about kids pitching tents when they're next to
her. Awful. So awful. Why is that something you like? Maybe you could be slightly flattered by it, but like, I would be so uncomfortable, not happy about it, you know?
By virtue of the fact that she's with Roland, I think that she's got quite a twisted sense of humor and like finds perhaps the more cringy things in life quite amusing.
Yeah. I mean, she is with Roland after all, right? So, but yeah, the allez-vous storyline really does crack me up. And it's just, I love whenever they're trying to like pull a scheme, and David and Moira, especially, it feels like two acting icons like going round for round, you know what I mean? Like they're both so good, and these characters are both so interesting and like unique that when you have both of them in one scene teaming up to do something, you're like, oh yes, okay, and now I see how you're related. Yes, okay.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to see them playing off of each other, because we've had like a couple of moments with David and Moira getting together and things, but it's mostly been like David and Stevie, Johnny and Moira, but like seeing them to have like a full story just to themselves. Johnny and Alexis are off doing their own thing. Alexis does come into it, but it's their story. And it's so funny to see how two completely neurotic people get on and somehow make something work in a short period of time, but also cataclysmically not work at the same moment. Yeah, it's quite a sight.
Yeah. Let's shift our attention a little bit to Johnny, who's going to go to Elmdale. He needs to get to Elmdale because he needs to get an unemployment check. Now, the tricky business is, Stuart, that obviously this is a podcast and we're not, you know, unemployment experts. But the tricky business for me is that because this is a Canadian show, I also am not exactly sure how unemployment works in Canada. It seems like you have to pay into unemployment insurance, which then would give you unemployment checks if you were out of work. And Johnny doesn't even have a ride to get to Elmdale. And Stuart, I mean, not to rag on Johnny every single episode, because it feels like that's what we've been doing lately, But I don't know that he's especially grateful to the townsfolk for the use of their vehicles. Like, he's like, ugh, why does Ray's 91-year-old mom need a car? It's like, probably because she needs to go to doctor's appointments, Johnny. She's freaking 91.
Yeah. Johnny's still got his expectation of a lifestyle that is no longer his lifestyle. And he needs to get to grips with what his situation is, which is, you're in Schitt's Creek. You're living in a motel. Like, you don't have a car and you need to get to places and you've got to rely on people. Maybe be a bit nicer to these people. They're giving you, like, lifts. They're giving you kind of loans of their cars and stuff. And yet you have the audacity to, like, first off, whinge about the 91-year-old mother needing the use of the vehicle. But then also to go to Roland and then, yeah, okay, Roland's not the most affable person in the world, but you're asking him for a favor. So maybe when he's being a bit of a, like, a jackass with the whole lawnmower and not, like, turning it off and stuff, maybe just, you know, bite your tongue a little bit.
Yeah, I think Johnny just needs a little bit more patience when dealing with someone like Roland. Like, yes, is he being ridiculous? Oh, make sure you back the truck in and add in windshield wiper fluid because I feel like we're going through it quicker. Like, all you need to do is just nod and move on. You know, you don't need to be like, oh, never mind, I'll go get a different car. Like, Johnny, just have a little bit of patience with Roland. You are asking for his truck and he seemingly has loaned it to you anytime you want it. And then on top of that, Stuart, he's trying to get one over on Bob. Bob, who has Bob's garage, he has this car out for sale and Johnny doesn't want to buy it. He wants to test drive it. But Bob specifically says, don't take this car on the highway.
Exactly. And Bob doesn't seem like the kind of person that would actually say no if Johnny was to say, look, I'm in a bind here. I really need to go to an appointment. Can I borrow one maybe?
Yeah.
But of course, the comedy sets it up and it's like Johnny is going to try and, like, get it over and stuff like that. But what a dumbass. Like, at least maybe say, oh, maybe I'm not interested in this one anymore. Maybe I'll go for another one instead. Mm-hmm. But when he tells you, don't you take it on the highway, maybe look out for the alarm bells.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason that you're not supposed to take it on the highway. Like, we've all had these cars, right? Like, that car did not look to be in the best shape. I had a car that my very first car, when I got up over 55 miles an hour, it would start shaking. So like just like a little bit. And I didn't even notice it until I got a new car. And I was like, wait, this car doesn't shake.
They all don't do this.
I mean, I was like 16, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know anything.
Okay.
But yeah, so everybody's had these types of cars where it's like, oh, you got a, you know, my first car, I had roll down windows because I'm that old and it was on backwards on the driver's side. So like every car has its weird little quirks and Johnny, you just need to trust Bob. He's a mechanic, you know, he owns Bob's garage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the name's literally on a big sign outside, like give the man a bit of authority in this space. Although saying that, could you give the man the authority with that little run over that he gave? I saw why you were like in love with Bob immediately. I was like, oh, look at his little dad run.
This is it. Okay. I'm so happy you said something because that was going to be my next question. This is the thing about Bob. Okay. Anytime he's in a scene and he's like going more than 10 feet from A to B, he's doing a Bob jog. And the Bob jog is so adorable because you know it's not going to get in there any faster. So he's just doing it for show. And he always does like a clap when he arrives at his destination. I love Bob. And maybe he's not the most beloved according to everyone in the world except me, but the Bob jog does it for me. I love it so much.
He's got all the authority of a speaker going out before like an assembly hall of like high schoolers and being like,
getting the crowd
right,
pumped.
Kids. Yeah, exactly. The clap makes everything just be like, right, we're going.
I love Bob. And yeah, so Johnny takes Bob's car and it breaks down on the highway because of course it does. And of course, Shock. who's Yeah, who's he calling but Roland? And Roland is very nosy. You know, he wants to know exactly where Johnny's going. Johnny just keeps saying it's a financial matter. And eventually Roland is so annoying that Johnny just screams out he's going to the unemployment office. And here I am thinking, Stuart, the first time I saw this episode, I'm thinking, oh, he just has to go pick up the unemployment check. Like, he's already done all the paperwork and all that. No, he shows up just expecting them to write out a check to him. What world is he living in? Like, I know Canada is a nice place, but like, no place is that nice.
Well, no, you've got to go through the hoops, right? You've got to, like, you surely know that there's going to be some level of bureaucracy when it comes to getting money. Like, that's even for something, when you're owed money, you still have to jump through hoops to, like, get people to pay you it with invoices and all sorts of things like that. So I don't know why Johnny has this expectation that he's just going to turn up and be like, money, please, and then hand it over. Like, they're going to give him, like, a burlap sack with dollars not, like, written on it.
It's like he thinks that. Yeah, and the worst part is that when he doesn't get what he wants from Marnie, he's like, oh, I want to speak to your supervisor. Johnny, you're being a real Karen right now, bud. Like, this isn't how we act. And she says, well, I am the supervisor. And then he's in a whole lot of shit. It's just until another shit has to come bail him out when Roland comes in. And apparently him and Marnie had a little bit of a thing in high school, Stuart.
I was really worried about this at first because I was thinking timeline-wise, when does this fit in? Because we know that Jocelyn and Roland have been together since they were high school sweethearts. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, is he doing the dirty? Is this going to be the downfall of Roland? Because I'm expecting it to be even worse than it is. Yeah. But no, it was another high school fling, which makes me think that Roland was like an absolute badass in high school, just slinging dick left and right.
I think the thing is, I think it's one of those situations where he's a Schitt's Creek 7, but like an Anywhere Else 3. You know what I mean? Like, the selection is, there's just such a small selection in Schitt's Creek. And on top of that, he has the notoriety of, like, he's the mayor. And I think his dad was the mayor, right, when he was a kid. Yeah. So he had a little bit of that kind of bumping him up a bit. But yeah, it's hard to believe that someone with like a pillow for a stomach and a mullet for a hairstyle is like really coming in with the BDE in high school.
Are you saying the short shorts and the open like boots are not really doing it for you with his tiny little stick thin legs either?
Really not doing it for me. Yeah, really not doing it for me. But Roland, I mean, let's face it, he does help. He lies to Marnie, which, yeah, there has to be some sort of fraud happening here, about Johnny working for him. And that's I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. Again, in my American brain, there's 0% chance this A, works, and B, gives him money that day. Like, there's just so many logistics and hoops and bureaucratic nonsense to deal with in America, at least. But, I mean, Roland does help. Like, you can't deny that.
Yeah. And I think he also helps in a way that is going to humble Johnny a little bit, which is what is needed. Johnny needs to be, like, humble. He needs to be brought down a peg and understand that he is not the kind of, like, lofty executive that he once was. He's, like, kind of where he is. And so when he's, like, even in buying into the lie, he's like, oh, I was a consultant. And then Roland has the smart idea of, like, no, you weren't. You're an assistant. You did this for me. Because
fetched my coffee.
You need it to be that way because you want Roland's authority to be more than his. You don't want it to be, like, this equitable deal and things like that. But also, I think that was an aspect of also torturing Johnny a little bit because even the imagined hypothetical thought of him being Roland's assistant and fetching his coffee and like being his little guy Friday was so clearly triggering for Johnny. But you have to do it because you're not going to get your money otherwise, buddy.
Exactly. And Roland, at least we think Roland is doing Johnny a solid. He's like, oh, you just need to fix this and that in the car. I'll help you out. And of course, you know, this is bad on Johnny. Always start the car before the person with the other car leaves to make sure it starts. It doesn't work. And Bob comes and picks him up and he thinks that Johnny's going to buy this car. And honestly, I kind of thought, Stuart, it was like a you break it, you buy it sort of situation.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one who took it on the highway when Bob said not to do it. Maybe you're going to be out like a couple $100.
Yeah. I mean, Bob totally would have had Johnny over a barrel if he wanted to, because he'd been like, you stole this vehicle. Like, if I'd called this in, that you'd be like being pursued by like the police and everything. But Bob being Bob, I don't think quite recognizes that, because I don't think Bob's got a bad bone in his body. He seems to be too nice to even consider it.
Yes, that's the thing. The Roses are very lucky that the townspeople of Schitt's Creek are so accommodating and mm-hmm. so generous, because this would not fly everywhere. You know, it's just that they just happened to be in a very small, quaint, kind town.
Yeah, and it's even acknowledged early in the episode with Alexis talking about her family and how they kind of see kindness as a weakness, and they do take advantage of it, and it's like seen in her family. It's weirdly insightful by Alexis to actually recognize that in other people.
Yeah, I think there are times where Alexis surprises us with, you know, she's a little naive and a little, not sheltered because she's the opposite of sheltered, but like, she hasn't had the normal upbringing that, you know, mm-hmm. someone might expect. And so sometimes she does come out with stuff where you're like, wow, I didn't realize she realized what was going on here. I think when it comes to her family, she's just especially perceptive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's shift over to talking about Telexis, because things might not be going so great. I let me know what your perspective is, Stuart, but it seems like, you know, Ted is blaming Alexis's foul mood on the fact that she's on a cleanse and so she's not eating. And it really bothers her that he won't send his breakfast back because he got the wrong side order. He wanted toast and he got hash browns or home fries or something. Mm-hmm. Are you someone who, when you go to a restaurant, will you ever send something back?
Legit a question I had later down to ask you. I am the kind that if, in a Ted situation where I'm like, I am perfectly happy with what is brought out, I will just accept it. But if it's totally something that I didn't want, I'd be like, the fuck, please come over, please correct this. But I will do it in the politest way possible, in the most British way. It'd be like, oh, I'm very sorry to even bother you with this inquiry, mm-hmm. but how about yourself? Yeah. Would you?
I'm pretty much exactly what you said, where as long as I will still eat it and it wasn't something that like my heart was completely set on, I'm not allergic to anything, so that's not really a concern. Like, as an example, I really am not a huge fan of like a raw red onion on anything. It's not my thing. And sometimes, you know, you get a burger or whatever and usually I'll ask for it, no onion. If it comes with onion, I'll just pick them off. It's not that big of a deal to me. You know, I don't know. To be fair to Alexis, I would rather have home fries than toast. But if I got toast and I wanted home fries, I definitely would ask about the home fries, because that is something that like I want and I would be looking forward to. But it really bothers her that he won't send anything back. And more than I wouldn't be bothered if someone didn't want to call over the waitress and like send an item back. Stuart, what I would be bothered by is when Ted makes excuses for Alexis. He's like, oh, she just is on a cleanse. It's like, mm-hmm. I was trying to help you. Don't act like I'm the crazy one.
Yeah, especially because I don't think her saying that you should stand up for yourself is necessarily her being grouchy or anything. I don't think it's anything that's really any different from her normal personality. It's like mm-hmm. completely fits in with what I expect Alexis to say in that scenario. Her being on a cleanse, I mean, perhaps it is exacerbating it a little bit, but I would imagine that Alexis is probably on a cleanse every other day based on her kind of like choices and fads and things. So maybe, I don't know. But like, I didn't like the way in which he kind of did make that excuse for her. I was like, Ted, like, what the fuck, man? Like,
just
send it back, buddy. Also, it's Twilight. It's not as if it's like a rando that you don't know. Exactly. It's like, you want to help out someone that you know, surely. Like, Twyla's making these mistakes left and right. Also, can we get into the fact that maybe Twyla is maybe not the best waitress in the world? Oh, yeah, what with the smoothies and now this? I'm like, oh, no, Twyla, you're not actually
Meadow Harvest job. Smoothie, yeah. No, exactly. She's not the best. She means well, of course. And yeah, that's the other thing that I was thinking of is I'm someone who, I have a bit of an ego. And so I just wouldn't like this sort of a conversation to be happening so publicly and like mm-hmm. in front of someone that I see all the time. You know, how many times a day do they go into Cafe Tropicale? Like, I don't want to be mm-hmm. having this like tiff, if you will, it's not even really an argument, in front of other people. It would be embarrassing for me. So don't be like, oh, they're just on a cleanse. It's like, don't like, come on, let's not discuss our business in front of like everyone else. But Alexis, I mean, that part doesn't seem to bother Alexis too much, because then she goes straight to Mutt and complains about Ted, saying he's a little bit too nice. And it turns out in high school, Mutt got annoyed with Ted just saying hello and would like punch him. He?
Yeah, like used to like slam into the locker or something, was it? I was like, what the heck, Mutt? And he's like, oh, but I was a different person back then. I don't think so. Yeah, you know what's wrong and what's right even back then.
Especially
sorry, buddy.
Because he didn't even do anything. He said, hi, you're an a-hole. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, if Mutt was to turn around and say, I was an asshole back then and like, I regret it, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Fully on board with that. People make mistakes. But to be like, oh, I was a different person. No. Don't excuse it to like some other hypothetical kind of person that you were back in the past. That's still you, unless you apologize for it, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And it all kind of comes to a head when they go to the MLM luncheon and Ted wants to stay because Moira specifically invited him. And he's just kind. Like, he's just a kind guy. And it's really getting under Alexis's skin because she just wants out of there. And she wants someone who's a little bit rougher around the edges. And Ted just isn't that guy. And I think it makes a lot of sense, Stuart, when we get a little bit of clarification from Alexis later on at Cafe Tropical, where she says, my family just takes advantage of nice people. They see it as a weakness. And that's why I think it can be twofold. Like, I think she thinks he's a little bit too nice. And so they kind of clash in that way because she's not always that nice. And I'm sure there's a little bit of like possible guilt she feels when he's so nice and she isn't. But also she doesn't want her family just to like mow over this like innocent guy, Ted, you know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's already had the interrogation in the last episode where he turned up to the wrong room and, of course, got the parental grilling that tends to happen if you ever do come into contact with a prospective boyfriend or girlfriend. But the way in which she's almost protecting him bought me over on this, because at first I was like, of course it's not working out. This is not going to work out. And maybe, I don't know if it will long term, but I'm thinking it's going to work out just for this short period based on the fact that Alexis is making this concession almost of just recognizing, okay, I'm going to bring the product and I'm going to kind of apologize for being rude. But I'm doing it out of a protective nature here. Like, I don't want them to take advantage of you. You're different from what I normally want. But she almost wants to work at it a little bit and then kind of invites him to meet in the middle by offering to role play. Again, another instance of the Roses role-playing, which makes me think this family has something in terms of a kink. But then they get into the like insulting the family. And I was like, of course he does it in, I would say, a very nice way of like doing the insult.
Yeah.
Like, he points out the very obvious things. Is that, oh, David is pretentious. No shit.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you say the most obvious thing about him? Yeah, and it's and your mother seems to be a little informed at times. She's uninformed most of the time. yes. She, like, Alexis is loving this. And it's so funny because it's almost a role reversal of, we often get the trope of, I can fix him, you know, like the woman who wants to fix a man up. But it's the opposite. Alexis is like, I can make him worse to fit my family better.
But also, we didn't get another trope, which is that Ted recognizes this as being a problem and Ted is the one that wants to fix it. And then Ted fixes it by being like overtly masculine and causes a fight or something to protect her, to like not be so much of a pushover. We're like, oh, I'm not going to take this. And then ends up like smacking someone. And then Alexis being like, oh, my hero kind of thing. I like the fact that this resolution came about and wasn't overtly problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a
little
bit.
Exactly. Yeah, but not terrible. And it's mostly played up for laughs, right? Like, they know it's ridiculous, which is allowing us to enjoy it. Yeah. So how are you feeling about Alexis now? Like, are you feeling higher on them than you were last episode, or about the same, lower?
A little holiday was at the beginning of the episode, certainly. I was thinking, okay, already this is going to shit, but I can't see this working long term. I don't see it. Not unless there's a cataclysmic change in Alexis's outlook on life. I can see this being a short term thing, not a long term thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into some feedback, because Stuart, we had a bit of controversy that was caused by our last podcast. I'm so sorry. I don't know what millionaire shortbread is. I do now. This is not an American thing. But I love that Aaron called you out for your idea of a savory smoothie, because it just does not make any sense to me still.
Why, when you could have your lunch, why not make it liquid? Surely saves time. I'm doubling down. I don't care.
Sorry, so Aaron. Nasty. There's this is ridiculous in a segue, a tangent. There's the show Below Deck. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like reality TV. Mm-hmm. There's a yacht and everything. So there's this Below Deck person it's like a guest who comes on to this fancy yacht. They pay a lot of money to take a yacht. She had just had some sort of dental mouth surgery. She couldn't eat like food, like solid foods. So she requested, I want to eat the same thing everyone else is eating, but can you just blend it? And she ate all of her meals through a straw on a yacht.
Yeah, okay. You've won me over, because when I'm thinking of like a savory smoothie, I'm thinking something that's like made specifically to be a savory smoothie, not just a full meal just blitzed up. Like, that sounds horrific.
Yeah. And because you can't just liquidize things, you know what I mean? Like, you have to add something in. Like, you can't just put a steak in a blender and suddenly it's liquid steak. Oh, that's not how that works. That's horrid. It happened, Stuart. So yeah, I'm glad that I was not alone in thinking that was absolutely disgusting. But two different people made Nanaimo bars as a result of this, Stuart.
We had Trish trying it out, because I looked it up. So Trish, based in the UK like myself, that Nanaimo bars just aren't available. I went hunting for them on Google and found a supplier in London that was going to sell them for £18 for six bars of them. And I was like, even conferred with Melissa as to whether or not that is like, as an exchange rate, is like workable. And she was like, absolutely not. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll have to make them myself. But Trish went up to me and made them already, and they looked fantastic.
Yeah, they really look good. I'm going to need to either like find a way to get one or make them myself, because they look really delicious. I'm not going to lie.
And then we had an exchange of foodstuffs with Ashley making millionaire shortbread, which was, I thought, incredible. Look at us bringing the world together through little bar snacks.
From across the world. Everyone's just coming together to make delicious snacks. So wholesome. let's get into some of our ratings here. Stuart, who do you think was simply the best this episode?
Okay. When we first started this, I was set an expectation for a certain character, and I thought, okay, we even, I think, mentioned it on the show that they would likely be a disgruntled pelican for the majority of this series. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give him his flowers when he deserves them. Roland Shit gets my MVP this week, because not only does he like help Johnny out a few times, he helps Johnny out more than a few times. He basically saves Johnny's ass multiple times in this episode and humbles him in the process. Roland gets it for me this week.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When I was trying to think of who is the best character this episode, like, obviously, a part of me wants to give it to Moira or David, because of how funny and ridiculous those Olivu scenes are. But you can't deny the fact that Roland comes to Johnny's aid multiple times, and that's after Johnny treats him like crap. So it's really impressive that Roland is willing to go as far as he is to help out Johnny, and really not ask much in return. Again, Johnny, buy the guy some windshield wiper fluid. It costs like $3, okay? This guy just drove like 20 miles, more than that round trip, to help you out. So maybe just cut the guy a break and get him some blue liquid.
Yeah, I mean, I think that earns you a Kleenex caddy. Like,
exactly, a Kleenex caddy. Just put a tissue box in your car. I don't understand why you need a Kleenex caddy.
Because he's earned it.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. Especially, it cracks me up when his truck is not in the best shape. You know, even Jocelyn admitted they wanted the champagne Audi. It cracks me up when people buy like fancy things for like what is obviously like a beat down truck. It's a rust bucket, and you're like, but I need the fanciest of accessories for it.
Absolutely gilding the turd.
I think, okay, Roland strikes me as a guy who he would have one of those fuzzy things on his steering wheel and some like really gaudy, ugly, like fuzzy dice hanging from his rear view mirror.
Is this a phenomenon that only happens in the UK? Do you have, it tends to be a bit of a phenomenon with young girls who get their first car over here, where they have little stickers that go over the front lights of their car that look like eyelashes.
Okay, I've seen those, but I don't feel like they're that popular over here. But I know what you're talking about. I've only really seen them on VW Beetles because they look like bugs. So like, yeah. I've seen that.
They tend to be quite a common thing over here with the Fiat 500, which is like the go-to entry-level car for many young teenagers. That and the sticker that goes at the back, which is powered by pixie dust, that tends to be on a lot of the girls' cars over here, alongside the fluffy steering wheel cover.
Oh gosh, see, I am so judgmental when it comes to people and their cars. So forgive me if I offend you, dear listeners, right now, if any of these apply to you. I'm going to rattle off a few things that get under my skin when I see them on vehicles.
Yes.
Number one, when trucks drive around with the testicles hanging off of the...
Never understood that.
The whatever that thing is called. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. The little thing on the back of the truck. Number two, baby on board sign. Why? Am I less likely to crash into your car now that I know you have a baby in it? I'm going to try not to crash into it anyway. Don't care that you have a baby in your car. Number three, the stick figure decals that people have. Horrendous. Mom and dad and seven of our gorgeous children.
Have you seen the really depressing stick figure families where the father has been just ripped off? It's yes. So sad.
Yes, yes. It's absolutely ridiculous. So those like really just get under my skin. There's just like so many things where it's like people are trying actively to be cliches. And like those are, you know, the other one is like, my honor student is a Hogwarts something or that. You know what I mean? Like some of those really cheesy, silly ones. But yeah, I picture Roland as someone who probably has a fuzzy steering wheel cover because he thinks it's like fancy or something.
Seems the kind, or would probably just amalgamate all of the tropes together and just have a pair of fuzzy bollocks hanging from his mirror.
Yes. Oh, like cheetah print seat covers. Like I could just picture all of those things. I love how we just trashed Roland to bits and he just won simply
after
the best.
Being
it's
the MVP,
fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. What about the disgruntled pelican, Stuart? I feel like it may be a little obvious and a little bit easy to pair up these two, but who do you got?
Yeah, it's got to be Johnny. I can't give it to anyone else. I mean, maybe David for buying into the MLM way too easily and being a bit naive in that, but nothing pales into comparison to Johnny's arrogance and just buffoonery in this episode.
It's really unfortunate. I totally agree with you. I'm also giving my disgruntled pelican point to Johnny. It's unfortunate because, again, we loved Eugene Levy. He's incredible. I didn't remember Johnny getting off to such a rough start. I think a lot of it is just because he is very privileged. And so when we're watching this and he just expects that he's going to get money, expects that he's going to get unemployment. He never paid into the program. He's like he owned his own business, right? So he didn't really get unemployed. He sold his business, which netted him a nice chunk of cash, I'm sure, which then promptly got taken away. It just doesn't sit well with most people, I think. And I mean, Johnny becomes very lovely. Like he is so lovely and you know, he cares. He cares about his kids and he cares about his family and his wife. And he does care. It's just when you see someone who is just so out of touch with reality, it's really tricky, especially when no one else in the episode did anything that egregious, you know, like maybe Alexis is mad at Ted for like being nice, but she didn't do anything that bad this episode.
Yeah, it's difficult because when someone does something wrong and everyone else is actually doing all right, then they stand out like a mile. And I don't think that it's actually reflective of Johnny being an awful character. Like you said, I think that there are absolutely redeeming qualities to Johnny. And I think that this is all part of good storytelling in making it that Johnny is going to start out low and build his way back up. At least that's my hope.
Yeah, exactly. We have time for him to grow as a character, which is nice. Unfortunately, we don't have any Moira wigs this episode. I would have loved to see her don some kind of special wig just for Allez-Vous Cosmetics, but Nothing this episode.
Completely. Or even just going full Karen with it, like indulging the MLM kind of vibes. Yes. It would have been so good.
Yeah, bleach blonde, I think, would have been perfect for it. But that's going to bring us to our tier ranking here. So we have Allez-vous. Where do we think this slots in? Do you have any gut reactions on which tier you'd like to place it in?
I didn't think this was a strong episode as we've had. I think this is a perfect, and we've been doing this for like the last few, I think perfect middle of the pack kind of episode. What about you?
I tend to agree. I love the Moira and David stuff, but I'm not as big of a fan on the other two storylines, the Telexis and Johnny stuff. Like that, those don't really do it for me. So I'd aim for either like at the top of the EU David tier or the bottom of the Love That Journey For Me tier. And I would be like, do you think, so we currently have Turkey Shoot at the very bottom of the Love That Journey For Me tier, the average tier, if you will. Do you think it's better or worse than that episode from last week?
I did think Turkey Shoot had much more like proper laughs. Like this one didn't really have any huge like belly laughs from me. So I think maybe lower than Turkey Shoot, but I still think it maybe is a step up from the pilot. But I wouldn't actually be sad to see it go down into the EU David.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning, is in the EU David category at the very top, just because again, like the Moira and David stuff is so funny, but the rest of the episode is funny, but not in the way, not the laugh out loud sort of way that we've seen in other episodes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we finally have, and you know what? It's the EO David category. So it kind of deserves to be in that category.
It makes total sense with the quote. Yeah.
Yeah. So we now have still the only episode in full bouquet is The Cabin. Love That Journey For Me has 5 episodes, and EO David has Allez-vous this episode and the pilot. So we have a nice little spread going on here. Next week, Stuart, would you like to know what next week's episode is titled?
Absolutely.
Carl's Funeral.
No, that's Eli. I was thinking it could be the business manager, and I was like, oh, maybe like that's where all the money's gotten. We find out some stuff like that. Who's Carl? Do we know Carl?
We'll have to find out. I don't know. Oh, Do you know a Carl?
Well, I don't think that I'm going to get to know them based on the sounds of that.
Exactly. So we have that to look forward to next week. And again, don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a rating and review. We really would appreciate it. Talking shit on all social media, including YouTube, if you want to watch us talk about this show. And of course, if you want to send in feedback, podcast@talkingshit is where you can do so. In the meantime, you can hear me over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We are in the heart of season 2 of both Felicity and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We're having a lot of fun. We just met someone I think is probably like one of the most notorious villains in Spike, I have to assume. I know people are hyped about him showing up on the show. So come listen to Sarah and I's reactions when we know absolutely nothing. And Felicity. So yeah, check both of those out at Shit 90s Pod. Stuart, anything else you want to plug? Anything else you got going on?
Nothing really. It's just the socials, as Stuart Drinks Tea. And yeah, loving everyone's conversations all about the episodes, and also our awful takes on particular foods and things like that. So yeah, please keep that all coming in.
Incredible. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And yeah, just don't forget to go. You could take that bronzer. You can sample it if you want to, but you will have to pay money. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Okay.